we are in a teaching series called This Is Us, because this is us. This is us. It's about people. It's about relationships. We did a series not too long ago, and we said if our relationships aren't working, then our life's not working. Because God created us for relationship, and He created us to be healthy. Let me give you like a snapshot of where we've come and where we're going to be this morning in this Is Us series. We started off with talking about how God created us with purpose and intentionality. He created us male and female. He created us in His image. He created marriage, and He said it's good. In fact, He said it's very good. When God created human beings, and when God created men and women, when God created marriage, when God created everything, it was good, very good. But then we talked about the fact that it doesn't take a genius to look around and say, well, it doesn't look that good now. Well, Genesis chapter 3 explains that sin and Satan and separation came into the world. And when our great, 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 great ancestors, Adam and Eve, chose to disobey God, something changed fundamentally, not only in them, but between them and actually the whole world. Sin brought consequences, and the consequence of separation, and the consequence of hiding, and the consequence of blaming. And this is us. But God loved us so much, He didn't leave us in that situation. God provided a way to heal us, to forgive us, to reconcile us, and to bring us back into a relationship with Him. And Pastor Kenny shared out of Romans chapter 5 that through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God healed the dysfunction between us and Him. And that passage unpacks the fact that every person is either in Adam or they're in Christ. In Adam is Genesis chapter 3, sin, Satan, and separation, hiding and blaming. But in Christ, there's freedom, there's grace, there's righteousness, there's eternal life. And so the opportunity to get right with God has been provided. God's healed the dysfunction in us. And then last week, Pastor Taylor talked about that not only did God heal the dysfunction in us, He healed the dysfunction between us, because the gospel, that same gospel that makes us right with God, provides the basis for us to get right with one another. Because when we come into a relationship with Christ, we receive a new heart, a new nature, and there's new attitudes and behaviors that come along with that. And when we put those on, well, then we love one another, we encourage one another, we bless one another. We have the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, goodness, gentleness, self-control in our relationships with one another. God has brought healing with Himself and with one another. And so when we live that out, we live a healthy life. That's what I want to talk about today. What does it look like to live a healthy life? In fact, what I want to talk about is 5 indicators of spiritual health, all from Romans chapter 12. 5 indicators of spiritual health: being healthy with God, being healthy with ourselves, being healthy with the church, being healthy with fellow believers in Christ, and being healthy with the world. 5 indicators of being spiritually healthy. Now, when I was younger, when I was in grade school, every year I used to look forward to what we would all participate in at the time, which was the President's Physical Fitness Program. Do you remember that? You would, you know, do push-ups and pull-ups and run and throw the softball and all these different things. And it was part of a campaign for us to be physically healthy. And when I was in 6th grade, my best friend and I, Pat Finnegan, that's a name, right? My best friend and I, Pat Finnegan, we wanted to get 100%. In other words, they ranked you in a percentile basis on how you performed. And my 6th grade teacher told us what the 100% ranking was for all the 6th graders in all of these different physical fitness areas. And I wanted to get 100% in all of them. When I was in 7th grade, I took wood shop. And my wood shop teacher, Mr. Foot, F-O-O-T-E, Mr. Foot, he was a stickler. And so there, in the wood shop at our junior high school, there was a classroom area, and then there were all the machines and all the aspects of the wood shop. He wouldn't let us go into the wood shop until every student in the class got 100% on a test that included being able to name all the machines and all the tools in the wood shop, being able to name and identify the various kinds of wood that we'd be working with by looking at the color and the grain and smelling it, and being able to know all the different safety tests and medical responses to any type of an accident. And until every student could get 100%, we weren't able to go into the woodshop area. See, health, whether it's physical fitness or being able to work with wood in a woodshop, is measured by 100%. Anything less than that is some degree of unhealth. In Romans chapter 12, there are five indicators of living a healthy life. You got to live in all five to really be healthy. I want 5 out of 5. I want 5 out of 5. Turn to someone next to you right now and say, I want 5 out of 5. 100%. This is what Romans 12 says, the first thing about being spiritually healthy, living a healthy life, a healthy relationship with God. A healthy relationship with God. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, this passage starts off with a very key transition in the book of Romans. See, the first 11 chapters of Romans is very heavy on doctrine and theology. It talks about the bad news, sin. Talks about the good news, salvation. Talks about how we live out the good news, sanctification. Talks about God's plan for history, sovereignty. Notice how I put all those S's in there? Yeah. So it describes these spiritual, theological truths. There's only, I think, 3 commands in the first 11 chapters of Romans. At chapter 12, though, he says, therefore, because of God's mercy, in other words, because of everything that was written in the first 11 chapters, this is what I want you to do. And Romans 12, Romans 13, Romans 14, Romans 15, Romans 16 is just one command after another. It's how we're to live because of what God says is true. That's why when I talk about here, the truest thing about you is what God says is true. That's not just something that we're to have a mental perception about. When we really embrace that, it changes the way we live because God works from the inside out. So Romans 12 says, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, and then he tells us the very first thing we should do. That's to present our whole bodies as an act of worship to God. In other words, the most important thing to do in response to what God has done is to surrender your whole life to him. Surrender your body to him. Now, and I think he uses that term purposefully because everything about who I am gets expressed through my body. You know, my thoughts, my words, my actions, my choices, my attitude, it's all somehow contained in my body. So if I give my body to Jesus, I'm given everything. Being healthy in our relationship with God means when we give our whole life to Jesus. We give our body to Jesus. It's an act of worship. He's first in our lives. We're seeking his will. We want to please him. We want to bring him glory. We want to follow his will for our lives. We want to line ourselves up with his plan. We present ourselves a living holy sacrifice. Then he follows it up with 2 more commands. He says, stop being conformed to this world. See, the world as a system has a plan different from God's plan. And when it says stop being conformed, he uses the word, it's from the Greek word schema, which means a schematic, and it's in a verb form to force yourself into the schematic. See, the world has a blueprint, a schematic, and the world is trying to make you conform to that blueprint. The world is trying to make you be just like it. You know, we're in the midst of this building campaign, Revive Building Hope, and we're kind of in the first phase of it. We've kind of launched it, and we've received some initial offerings, and we said we're gonna put what's been given into practice. And the first thing we're gonna do is kind of redo this whole worship center. So we have been in the plans of putting together schematics, blueprints for what we want it to look like. And we are talking to the city about getting those plans approved. And we're talking to subcontractors who will be doing work in helping this sanctuary look like those plans. So at some point, very soon, there'll be people up here working, and all of their efforts will be to make this auditorium look exactly like the schematic, the blueprint. The world is trying to do that to you. All of its messaging, advertising, education, politics, pop culture, everything that's going on in the world is not trying to help you make you more like Jesus. It's trying to make you more like the world. And so what the Bible says is, stop letting that happen. It is happening. Stop it. You've got to be intentional. You got to stop it. It's a very, the whole command is a very action-oriented command, which means it takes immediate action. It's really trying to say, you may have to do this many times. You may have to make some ongoing life changes, but none of those will happen until you make a decisive commitment to stop the world squeezing you into its mold, making you fit its blueprint, conforming you to be just like it. Present yourself to God, stop the world doing its work on you, and instead it says be transformed. Become more and more like Jesus. How? By the renewing of your mind. Because the way God works is inside out. He changes the way we think. It changes the way we feel. It changes the choices we make, which changes the actions that we live out, which changes the way we live. But it's inside out. See, the religion and Jesus work totally opposite. Jesus works inside out. Religion tries to work outside in. Oh, you want to be religious? Here are all the 10 things you got to do. Here are the 5 hoops you got to jump through. Here are the 7 acts that you have to perform to become more religious. That's not the way God operates. God works from the inside out. But let me tell you, it's inside out. If it ain't out, it ain't inside. So transformation happens as we present our whole lives to Jesus, as we stop the world working on us in its squeezing us into its blueprint and being renewed inwardly, which then works itself out outwardly. That's a healthy relationship with God. You see, a healthy relationship with God is when our whole lives are aligned in worship and we're decisively stopping the world's push and pull on us and we're progressively being transformed to look like Jesus. See, I want 5 out of 5, but it starts with my relationship with God. So here's a question we ought to be asking ourselves. Are you being conformed to the world or transformed by God? Just honestly, am I being more conformed to the world or am I really being transformed by God? Here's a second indicator of spiritual health. It's 5 out of 5. Here's a second one, a healthy relationship with self. Some of you might went, whoa, that's interesting. Yeah, healthy relationship with self. Very next verse, verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. See, one of the great aspects of being created in God's image, this is going all the way back to Genesis 1 and 2, God created us, and when he created us, it was good. He created us as male and female. He created us as image bearers. One of the ways we reflect the image of God is that we have self-consciousness. Only God and human beings have self-consciousness. All the other creation, it doesn't have self-consciousness. Think about that. That's how special we are in the creative order of God. We share in an actual attribute of God. We have the capacity to think about ourselves, to reflect about ourselves, to ask ourselves, self, how are we doing? Well, let me tell you. We have a self-consciousness. And we can either be healthy or unhealthy in our self-consciousness. You see, If in our self-consciousness we inordinately think about ourselves, that's not healthy. Look at this slide. I got a slide that kind of represents this inordinate thinking about ourselves. Do you know, last year, Google says that 24 billion selfies were uploaded. 24 billion selfies were uploaded. Some of the statistics were amazing. Like one of them, and I should have gotten this one put it up, is the number of selfies that were taken that were actually on people's phones but weren't even uploaded. So not only do I have selfies I take of myself that I upload, I got a bunch of pictures of myself I just keep for myself. So here's what happens when we think so much about ourselves. We can think very lowly about ourselves, or we can think very highly of ourselves. See, here's another picture. Someone who potentially could think very lowly about themselves. Remember, how many of you ever had to wear braces here at some point in time? Oh my gosh. Do you remember when you first, what you thought? You thought, what are people going to think about me? How am I going to look? What? And you kind of covered up your smile a little bit, and you were so self-conscious because of how you look with braces. I avoided all that. I was supposed to get braces. I didn't even get braces. I said, no, I'm not going to get them. I had crooked teeth, but all my smiles through high school, but I didn't want to wear braces. I was in a men's Bible study sometimes back, and there was a guy who did cosmetic dentistry, and he goes, dude, how come you haven't worked on your teeth? And he goes, let me take care of it. So he fixed my teeth, costing much more money as an adult, cosmetic dentistry, because I didn't want to go through that phase because I was self-conscious. See, some of us, we think very lowly about ourselves, and we're not healthy because we think very lowly about ourselves. But you can have the opposite idea. Here's a picture, maybe someone who has the opposite idea. I'm hot. I know it. You know it. Check me out. Actually, though, this picture, the gal is a model, and the whole picture comes from an article where she had a very low self-image because she was so self-conscious of the way she looked when she was next to her husband because she thought, he's so hot, I look really bad. So the issue is whether you think high of yourself or low of yourself, you got the same problem. You're thinking of yourself. So we know what might look like to be unhealthy in our relationship with self, but what would it look like to be healthy? Well, according to this passage, it says not to think of yourself, but it says to think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to you. To think of yourself with sober judgment. That word sober judgment is the Greek word sophroneo, which means with godlike clarity, with a wise, truthful evaluation. To see yourself as God sees you. I like that because what do I say here all the time? The truest thing about you is what? That's what God wants us to see. He wants to see what he says is true about us. In fact, we sang a worship song earlier. I am who you say I am. Do we really believe that? Because if we do, we have a healthy relationship with us, ourselves. See, when we see us as who God says we are, then we see us as redeemed. We see ourselves as forgiven. We see ourselves as chosen. We see ourselves as sons and daughters of God. We see ourselves as indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We see ourselves as loved by God. We see ourselves as co-crucified, co-resurrected, co-seated with Jesus Christ. We see ourselves as gifted by the Holy Spirit. We see ourselves as men and women of destiny. We see ourselves as the light of the world. We see ourselves as ambassadors for Jesus Christ. When we see ourselves as God sees us, That's why Pastor Dino, some might go, oh, a million kids. What is that? He's crazy. He's too old to go do that. No, he sees himself as God sees him. He's heard what God has said about himself. He's heard what God has said he wants him to do, and he's going to do it. That's a healthy perspective because God has allotted to each a measure of faith. You got to do this by faith. Dina, are you stepping out in faith?
Big time.
Big time. Anything that has ever been done for the glory of God was done by faith. You got to see yourself as God sees you by faith. That's a healthy relationship with yourself. Now, I want 5 out of 5. I want 5 out of 5. So the question is, do you think more of yourself than you should, or do you think of yourself honestly by faith? So you can think more of yourself in a low way, or you can think more of yourself in a high way, but are you just thinking more of yourself, or are you thinking of yourself honestly by faith? Here's a third indicator of living a healthy life, being healthy. It's a healthy relationship with the church, the body of Christ. It says this in Romans chapter 12. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, we form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, well, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. And if it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. See, this passage says part of our identity is that we were created in Christ to be connected to his body, the church. That is our birthright. It's our family. It's our identity. So just as we received Christ, and when we did receive Christ, we became new creations. When we received Christ, we got connected to his church, the body of Christ. It's who we are, because it's who God says we are. And as members of his church, we have spiritual gifts to serve. See, part of our problem, and you know, I have no idea when this happened, but sometime it happened and it's kind of carried over, is we think about church as a place to go to rather than a being. We think about going rather than being. And when you have the going rather than being mentality of church, then if your mentality is going, then it's you attend. If it's being, you participate. If it's going, well, then you receive. If it's being, you receive and you give. If it's going, you consume. If it's being, you commune. You see the difference? The Bible does not describe our relationship with the church as some place we attend, but it's who we are. It's not going, it's being. So according to this passage, as it relates to health, being healthy, our connection or disconnection, our service or our inactivity actually affects the health and functionality of the church. So you can have a huge church, thousands and thousands of people, but if people are just attenders, it's not a healthy church. You can have a church of 100 people, but if everyone there, all 100, is actively engaged in serving and participating in the life of that church, that's a healthy church. Our connection or our disconnection matters. Our service or our inactivity matters. We have been uniquely designed by God, gifted by grace, to serve. It's who we are. So if we just attend a church, but we're not actively involved and participating and serving, we have an unhealthy relationship with the body of Christ. See, there's a difference between being a fan and being a player. Did you know that? It's so funny. Because there's certain sports, I'm a fan of sports, but I try not to make this mistake. It's one of my little pet peeves. If you do it, don't be offended. I'm going to call you out on it. But like, if you're a Laker fan and the Lakers win and you say, we win, no, we didn't. The Lakers did. You're just a fan. If you're an Angels fan and the Angels win and go, man, we won. No, the Angels won. You didn't win. You're a fan. See, fans can be very enthusiastic. Fans can attend all the games. Fans can actually know a lot about the game. They can even know a lot about the players. But fans are fans. Players, you know what they actually do? They play. That's why they're players. They play. It's a real simple definition. A player is one who plays. A fan is one who does not play. Are you a player or a fan here at Crossline? Because only players have a healthy relationship with the church. Only players have a healthy relationship with the church. So a healthy relationship with the church is when we recognize our God-declared identity as members of one another and as we joyfully serve with our God-given gifts. That's what it means to have a healthy relationship with the church. So the question, are you connected and actively serving the church, or are you disconnected and being a consumer? I want 5 out of 5. I want 5 out of 5. Here's a fourth health indicator, a healthy relationship with other believers. Healthy relationship with other believers. Next verse, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep in your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and don't curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Don't be conceited. This is a call to love with specific applications. You know, Jesus said, when asked, what's the greatest commandment? He said, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And a second is likened to it, love your neighbor as yourself. It's pretty important to love our neighbor. And in this context, it's not just our neighbor generally, but it's our neighbor who is a believer, fellow believers, the one another's. Other believers in Christ, this is how we're to love them. A healthy relationship with other believers is when we are really loving one another. And the actions here are attitude applications and action applications. So it's loving one another in action, but with the right attitude behind the actions. So it's both what we do and the heart behind what we do. So if you just have a good heart, but there's no actions, well, there's no love. If you do good stuff, but you have a bad heart, that's not love. It's doing the right stuff for the right reasons. That's love. And in fact, here in this passage, I just read to you 20 commands. So if you're thinking, well, how do I do it? There's 20 different ways they're told you right here. 20 ways. And there's 50 ways to leave your lover. There's 20 ways to love one another in the body of Christ. I don't know where that came from, Kenny. I just threw it out there. But speaking of quotes, one of the things we do in our family all the time, we do it as a staff team. Your pastors, we just went up to a conference up in Sacramento for several days. We had a blast, our ministry directors, and while we were driving in a car, we would do this play trivia game. So, you know, a movie quote, and then you got to guess the movie. So I got some movie quotes, and just see if you can guess the movie, all right? See how good you are. Just shout it out if you know what the movie is. Okay, here's the first one. And I'll try to say them as best I can with how they were actually delivered in the movie. Do you feel lucky, punk, huh? Dirty Harry. Dirty Harry, very good. Okay, here's the next one. I'll be back. Terminator. Yeah, it's a movie, it's a movie. Don't get too excited, Greg. I know you're throwing the actor out there, too. You're getting really specific in answering because you're good at this game. I know you are. Okay. Okay, here's one. See if you do this one. Ain't got time to bleed. Nope. I heard someone say it. Predator. There you go. That was by the governor, Jesse the Body Ventura, by the way. Okay, here's one. Freedom! Braveheart. All right. I like this game. This is good. Good luck. What is it? Taken. Come on. You just, when I did this, you knew them. That's how good you knew it was going to be. All right. Here's one. Here's one of my favorites. This is a men's retreat favorite. Why, Johnny Ringo, you look like somebody just stepped on your grave. Tombstone, all right? How about this one? This takes you back. I recruited him. I trained him. I commanded him in Vietnam for 3 years. I'd say that makes him mine. Rambo First Blood. That's right. Okay, I'll give you one more because someone threw this movie out there, so I give you a quote for it. It's that gasoline smell. I love that smell, the smell of napalm in the morning. That's Apocalypse Now. So now all of those movies, they're all of a certain genre. What kind of movies are they? Action movies. Well, what makes an action movie an action movie? Action. Whew. So all of this was for this illustration, the punchline. What makes love love? Action. Action. If we want a healthy relationship, I want 5 out of 5. You want 5 out of 5, you want to be healthy in your relationship with fellow believers. It's action. It's action. It's the way we actually treat one another, and it's action with a good heart, a good motive. So I have healthy relationships when I'm actually engaged with people and I'm actively loving people with a good attitude. Here's my question. Do I love others actively with a positive attitude, or am I indifferent and selfish? See, I want 5 out of 5. So here's the last one. Here's the last indicator of spiritual health, of living a healthy life. God's done everything. It was good. Then sin separation and Satan came into the plan. So God did everything to get us right with him. God did everything to get us right with one another. But now we got to live it out 100% to be healthy. Here's the last indicator. A healthy relationship with the world. Not with those in here, but those out there, the world. The Bible says this, Romans 12, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what's right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. It's written, it's mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. So if your enemy is hungry, you feed him. If he's thirsty, you give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. See, this is where we get it wrong sometimes, and we've got to get this right. There's the world system, and then there's the world of people. See, the world system is trying to squeeze us into its mold, and we've got to stop that from happening. 1 John 2 says about the world system, do not love the world nor the things in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life. But that's not from the Father, but from the world, and the world's passing away, and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God abides forever. But the world of people, God so loved the world. And when you love Jesus, you love the things that Jesus loves. See, the world is our mission field. Don't operate on the value system of the world. Operate on a value system of God so that you have the leverage to say something to the world. That's why we're commanded, don't repay evil for evil, do what's right, be at peace, don't take revenge, feed your enemy, give him something to drink, overcome evil with good. Be a world changer. Be a world changer. That's what this passage is calling us to. That's a healthy relationship with the world where we have more of an influence on people than the world is having an influence on people. You know that for my first few years in ministry, I worked with CREW, Campus Crusade for Christ. I was on staff with CREW at UCLA, worked with college students. Most of the young adults that I had the privilege of mentoring and discipling were either in fraternities or on sports teams. And I led this Bible study in this fraternity and had the opportunity to mentor this young man, a guy named Jeff Harper. And in this fraternity, there was a guy who said he was a believer. He made that clear when he came into the fraternity, but then proceeded to become the biggest partier in the house. I mean, the instigator, but still professed to be a believer. And one morning, my buddy Jeff Harper, who I was mentoring, he was in the shower room and he's shaving. And this guy came in after a night of partying and goes, "Oh my gosh, I got a hangover. It was unbelievable." Like that. And Jeff looked at him and said, "Will you do me a favor? Either change the way you're living or change who you say you are." Now, at that same time, there was another young man in another fraternity, pastor of leadership, Pastor Kenny Luck. Kenny brought the light of Christ into his fraternity house. And over the course of his 4 years at UCLA in his fraternity, every guy there knew he was a follower of Jesus. And not only did they know he was a follower of Jesus, there were a lot of young guys who gave their lives to Christ because of the influence and example of Pastor Kenny. So here's what happens. Here's what happens. Going back to Romans 12, 2, and then now the last verse, Romans 12, 21. Either we let the world squeeze us into its mold, or we are world changers, and we overcome evil with what's good. How healthy do you want to be? How healthy do you want to be? See, here's the question. Here's the question in terms of our relationship with the world. Are you proactive to bless? Through your life, through your words, through your example, through your gospel witness? Or are you passive aggressive, which is to curse? To live a healthy life, it's 5 out of 5. It's 5 out of 5. And so my exhortation to us here, Crossline, is that we say, "Jesus, I want 5 out of 5. You've done everything for that to be possible. Work in my life. I want to be healthy. I want a healthy relationship with you. I want a healthy relationship with myself. I want a healthy relationship with the church. I want a healthy relationship with brothers and sisters in Christ. And I want a healthy relationship with the world. Help me." And maybe this morning, God's spoken to you about a particular area. Of the five, this is the one you got to work on. You're unhealthy. I believe that surrendering yourself to Christ, surrendering that area of your life to Christ, asking for God's help, that's a holy prayer that God wants to answer. You mean business with God, and God will mean business with you. So as we are closing our time, ask God to show you where it is you need to be healthy, and ask for his help, because you want 5 out of 5. You want 5 out of 5. I'm going to pray for us. We're going to receive our offering. And as we do, we're giving back to God. But in addition to our financial gifts, give yourself back to God as your act of worship. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you so much for your word that gives us clarity about who you are and what you want for our lives and what you can do in our lives. I pray that every one of us here would be moved by the Holy Spirit to say, I want 5 out of 5. I want health. And we'd surrender ourselves in every part of our lives to you and ask for your help in every health indicator. Jesus, I pray that you would do the work in us so that our offering would bring you glory, because we're really offering our lives as well as our stuff. That's what I want you to do, and I pray that you'll do that. I pray that you'll do that in Jesus' name. Amen.